in 14 and 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And the part I want to emphasize here tonight is change. Everybody say change. Change. You can be seated. And Job talks about change. There's an amazing amount of change that has taken place already. In the first chapter of the book of his name, we are given an idea of Job's wealth. He has 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, if we assume there's two to a team, obviously, 1,000 oxen, and 500 donkeys. Can you imagine the manpower that's required to care for all of that livestock? Can you imagine the stables, the feed, the acreage of grazing that would be necessary? He's a wealthy man. But yet, he's a godly man. And the Bible tells us about his prayer, his sacrifice, his integrity, and how he continued to live in his commitment to the Lord in spite of the losses that came his way. When he lost all of that livestock, he lost his ability for trade, for transportation. Maybe he had trade routes that he assisted different commercial enterprises with. Maybe he rented his animals out to plow fields. I don't know, what all could he have done with this livestock? And the wool and the mutton or the lamb chops or whatever that he would have gotten from slaughtering some of the sheep. So a very wealthy man. Seven sons, three daughters, and then he lost it all. That, obviously, great devastation. But his character remained godly. Complete integrity, fearing God, staying away from evil. And even God testified of those qualities of Job. In Job 1 and 8, Satan comes with his accusations, and then Job 2 and 3 again, the second time the Lord testifies twice about Job and his qualities. I hope that the Lord is able to look at us and be able to say, have you considered my servant? And certainly not for us to go through what Job went through, but to understand that the Lord would desire for his people to stand out and be able to follow through on the commandments of the Lord. In that same chapter of Job 14, verse 7, speaks of how Job is looking for redemption. He's looking for restoration. He says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Some of you have had trees that you had to cut down, and sure enough, it wasn't long in the next growth season that here were sprouts. Our tree that we planted last summer, we were so proud of it and so thankful it was growing so good. But due to COVID, that's my excuse. Due to COVID, I didn't get out there and put the little protective fence around it, and those cotton-picking moose. Well, they didn't pick cotton, they picked up my mountain ash. And they ate the leaves and the branches and then broke the trunk over. But guess what? This spring, it's sprouting again. It looks like a bush, it doesn't look like a tree. Hopefully, because it's sprouted again, there will be the restoration. The resurrection, praise God, of that tree. But Job's asking the question. There are a lot of questions going through his mind. And his comforters are just adding to the question. They're not bringing any answers. Thank God for people of the Lord who would help us have the answers and be able to provide for us the comfort and the strength and the encouragement. I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister. Praise God. And don't have the answers. Don't have the way to fix except to wait on the Lord. But that's good. That's what we've got to do. Wait on the Lord. Amen. But Job says, I'm waiting for my renewal. I'm waiting for my change. I'm waiting for the things to get better. His wealth and his health, his home and his heritage, gone. And he lives to suffer day after day after day. Talk about devastating changes. My goodness. Just a difficulty that he faced, but he worshiped. Thank God he didn't lose his worship. He was advised, curse God and die. But he didn't do that. And he worshiped. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. I'm thankful that there can be that determination. I found another example of that kind of determination. Let's take just a moment to step away from Job and the changes that we want to look at and consider Habakkuk 3 and 17. The description here is, again, of loss, of nothing working out, things not coming together the way it should, and especially in terms of agriculture, which is the kind of nation, the kind of economy that the people of Israel relied upon. Here it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That's devastation. That's loss to the nth degree. That means their economy is gone, their food is gone. What are they going to do? The next verse, verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Praise God. Worship during the worst is a stable place to be. Amen. And thank God that the changes that can come to us are not permanent. The Lord can reverse it. The Lord can change it. The Lord can make it better. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for the determination to change. I read President George W. Bush's book, Decision Points. And right at the beginning, he describes a choice that he made that determined how his life would turn out. Now, he's a man of many accomplishments. Obviously, becoming president, it was the crowning accomplishment, but he's a family man. He served in the military. He's a jet pilot. I remember one of the newspaper articles after the election and how they kind of mocked him being flown into an aircraft carrier and mission accomplished and so on. And but had they read his book, they would know he is a pilot. He did fly jet fighters. But anyway, here's his decision that he speaks of right off in his book, Decision Points, a very thick book, but he made a very important point to say, this decision determined many others in my life. Quitting drinking was one of the toughest decisions I have ever made. This is what he wrote in his book. Without it, none of the others that follow in this book would have been possible. It is the testimony to the strength of love, the power of faith, and the truth that people can change. That's right on page 3. On page 34, he reiterates it and gives some background or some foundational points of how he was able to do that. I could not have quit drinking without faith, he said. I also don't think my faith would be as strong if I hadn't quit drinking. There are those who justify either way. But thankfully, George W. Bush said, I quit. And my faith helped me quit. And my faith was strengthened because I didn't allow both to try to exist together. I believe God helped open my eyes, he goes on, which were closing because of booze. For that reason, I've always felt a special connection to the words of Amazing Grace, my favorite hymn. And he quotes from Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The power of the president to change the nation and really to change the world. And yet he credits this aspect of quitting drinking to be the most important that one of the most important decisions that he had made. Thank God that there can be changes that the Lord makes in our lives and through faith be able to move into the realm where we find answers. Job's question, Job's hope, will I live again? I'm going to wait because I know my change is going to come. I know there's going to be a difference that is made. Praise God. And he makes reference to how that the Lord provided for him and blessed him in such a marvelous way, and the power of God to worship during the worst of his times, yet his focus being on the Lord. See, that's what worship does. It takes your eyes off of the problems, off of the situations, off of the difficulties, and puts your eyes upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to help us to understand, he's the one who never changes. His eternal purpose is what is being enacted in our lives. Our purposes may change, our goals may change, different things may come into our life, but his eternal purpose is what I've got to be identified with and understand that he's going to follow through in my life. So I keep worshiping. I keep holding on. I keep bringing forth. Praise God. Mary made a choice. Just a young girl. Some say, we don't know exactly how old. Some theologians estimate she was 16. Just very young. And then presented with the angel's message. The Lord is with thee. That is quite a statement to hear. Fear not. Another positive aspect that the angel emphasized to Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. And again, a powerful truth. Amen. And then you're going to bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Oh my. That brought some changes. That changed the perspective. That changed things to a certain degree. And Mary would be left to ask, how? I've not known a man. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Another statement that the angel would bring forth to underline this aspect of incredible change. And so Mary had options before her. Mary had choices to make. Mary had a future to consider. And here was her response. Be it unto me according to thy word. Totally surrendered, totally committed, totally aware of what it was going to cost her, what the price was going to be, and being willing to step forward into a profound change that would eventually change the world. Praise God. The church needs that kind of attitude. Be it unto me according to your word, Lord. You say, fear not. You say, nothing is impossible with God. You say, we found favor. Oh God, continue your work in my life. Continue your work in my heart. Praise God. And to have the Holy Ghost overshadow the church is the blessing that God wants to impart. The power of the highest to come upon us. Amen. And thank God there's that kind of protection, there's that kind of production, there's that kind of growth in the kingdom of God. And the hope that we can have in heaven. Praise God. You've heard that saying? Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there? Well, nobody goes to hell anymore either. They're all in a better place. They're all, you know, everything's good. Everything's, well, if you want to go to heaven, you got to do more than just talking about it. You got to do more than just reading about it. There's got to be a decision that you make in your life. Amen. Let's take a moment to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and look at some of the statements that are made there by the apostle. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, praise God, what potential that holds, what power that reveals, risen with Christ. Amen. If that's true, if you've experienced that, if that is what you have had happen to you, then seek those things which are above. Amen. The emphasis is there for the proof to come forth and to be able to recognize, okay, the Lord has revealed his power on your behalf. The Lord has given you his name in baptism, given you his spirit dwelling within. Then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And that power can be revealed because we're risen with Christ. Change. Change in a very basic manner. Change in a very powerful manner. Amen. To seek those things that are above. Then verse 2 goes on, set your affection on things above. Notice again where the location is. We're looking at what's above. We're not looking at what's going on here. You look at what's going on here, it can get pretty discouraging. And the things that are taking place in our world right now, not just the pestilence, the disease, and so on, but the sin that is so rampant. The whole aspects there of how things are changing in terms of values and principles and teaching from the Word of God, the doctrine that's so important. And so the Word of God says, set your affection on things above. Your mind, your heart, your thoughts, all of that. Focus on things above. Amen. The Living Bible puts it this way. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. That's putting it very plain. The proof of change is going to be your focus. Focusing on the things of God, not on things on the earth, because that can be very discouraging and very upsetting. And going in the wrong way. The tests that Job had, the trials that Job had, the temptations and tribulations that came his way, it could have been so devastating that he decided, what's the use? I'm going to just cast it all to the wind, and I'm going to live in any manner that I can to gain whatever kind of satisfaction I can find. He held on to the things of the Lord. Jesus told us, in the world, you're going to have what? Tribulation. And oh my, I think we've experienced that. Tribulation. But in me, what did he say? You'll have peace. Praise God. That's a tremendous difference. That's a definite choice that should be a no-brainer, as we say. We're going to follow him because of the peace that he offers. Praise God. But keep in mind, tests, trials, tribulations are all temporal. Eternal is what God has in mind for you. His eternal purpose is going to be fulfilled in the eternal realm that he is preparing for us. Praise God. And heaven will be our home, prepared for the Lord. He took on the trade of a carpenter. He His earthly father, Joseph, taught him that trade, and Jesus worked as a carpenter, building things, finishing things, preparing things. Now, obviously, as a creator, he just spoke those things into existence. Praise God. And the only hands-on creation he did was with you and me, humanity. Praise God. I'm glad he's still hands-on. I'm glad he's still molding us and shaping us and providing that means for us of taking out impurities and removing that which is not pleasing to him. Praise God. And I want him to complete that work in our lives. Praise God. The author and the finisher of our faith. Now, Job didn't have to wait for a change that death would bring to him. Thank God that there was a change that came to him in the plan of God that resulted in some amazing things taking place in his life. And thank the Lord, and we can look at his question and understand that there is the outcome that God wants us to have. God wants us to understand. Amen. And we think about the increase that he had, the twice as much, the double blessing. Can you imagine? 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, 1,000 donkeys, 7 sons and 3 daughters restored to him. He lived 140 years beyond that. He saw 4 generations of his family. The blessing of the Lord that came, praise God. Amen. And we know the answer to if we die, will we live again? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Though a man be dead, yet shall he live. And thank God that there's that change that the Lord brings to us as we know his promise in John 11 and 35 to be so powerful. And then Lazarus being brought to life. We know the scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. There's the necessity of preparing for that time and recognizing I've got to make sure I'm ready to go. And Job determining, I'm going to wait. And thank the Lord, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Thank God that there's the renewal, there's the revival, there's the redemption. There's the return that God wants us to have in our restoration to him and how we can continue in the blessing of the Lord and know that we can renew our strength, mounting up with wings as eagles, running and not being weary, walking and not fainting. Praise God. In the spiritual realm, we can have that power. And Job declaring, my change will come. In Job 19 and 25, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. Praise God, and thank the Lord. That powerful change that the Lord can bring to people's lives is what we know he can provide. He's building his church, and thank God he can build in you a strong faith, a strong character, a strong experience in the Lord. And that is what we need to continue on and know the blessing of the Lord is there. The author and the finisher of our faith. Malachi 3 and 6, the Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not. Praise God. I'm glad to know he's still the great I am. It's unique to see that presentation of the guy writing on the whiteboard or erasing from the whiteboard. Interesting how he put that together so quickly. But the I am, praise God, is who we believe in. The one who doesn't change, this is what always amazes me, the one who always stays the same, the one who does not allow things to change him, is the one who brings dynamic changes to us, amazing changes to us, powerful changes to us. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the hand of the Lord is there to minister to us in the blessings of God. Amen. Now, life brings changes. I do some physical work. Most of my work is done sitting at a desk or sitting at the table, sitting at a computer, and I do some physical work, and I can feel the changes. I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm not able to do the kind of work that I enjoyed doing at one time. And thank the Lord, I'm still able to do some, but not as much as I used to. Life brings changes. But thank God, the one who never changes is the one who provides incredible changes in our lives as we continue on with Him. And the changes that life brings, the elements of change that are there, the experiences that we have that are negative, the sicknesses, the losses, the difficulties, and so on. Thank God they're not going to be in heaven. There's nothing that's going to be there. Praise God. There's no tears. There's no crying. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. Praise God. The Lord said the former things are passed away. Passed away. They're gone. Thank the Lord. And Satan is not going to be there. Lies are not going to be there. Amen. And unbelieving is not going to be there. Satan is not going to be there. Praise God. We're going to be able to step into that realm of glory and power and the blessing of the Lord. And heaven is not going to change. Praise God. Amen. We'll change to get there. We're going to change to be able to step into that heavenly realm. Paul said, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. So, in order to be changed then, I need to make sure those changes are taking place in my life now. Changes that the Lord orders from His Word. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. That's a change. A living sacrifice. That's a misnomer. But God is letting us know there's that effort that we've got to make to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Thank God we can step into the will of the Lord and know the blessings that are there. Being changed. Changed now so that we can be ready for that change then. Praise God. Amen. And change by choice. I'm going to make up my mind to serve the Lord. Thomas, get ready. Thank God that we can have that power of the Lord and the blessing of God to be strengthened in Him, be lifted up in Him, and to know those changes are what God designs in our lives. And life in the world can produce changes that are devastating, that are disappointing, that may bring on despondency and despair and a depression. But thank God, divine intervention lifts us up above those situations and brings us into the power and the blessing of the Lord. Praise God. Are you thankful for the changes God made in your life? Amen. We look back at those times, and, you know, watching that video reminded me of being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God those changes came. Thank God I know it's in the Word of God. I know that experience is powerful. I know what the Lord is able to do and the changes that He brought so that my life did not turn out the way that it could have been. God turned it around and brought me to the place where I know His power is real and His blessing is great. Thank God. And as we continue walking with Him, He changed sickness into health. Amen. He changed loss into gain. He changed sorrow into gladness. Praise God. And we can serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Praising and singing and worshiping Him because He's done something powerful in our lives. Can we just praise the Lord here for a few minutes? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We glorify your great name.